All right, you guys. Wow. I am feeling incredibly nostalgic right now because for the first time since I first started the podcast, I am sitting in a bed recording a podcast with my camera propped up on literally the most absurd objects that I could possibly find because I don't even have a tripod here. But I'm back in my hometown, none other than Northeast Ohio, Lake County, Painesville. I'm sitting at my parents' new house. So, if you listen to the episode with my dad, we talked about it for a little bit, but I grew up in the exact same house for 21 years and I had never known anything else. My parents, when we all moved out, because I have two sisters, Sydney and Erin, we're all older. I'm the youngest, I'm the baby. We'll do like a quick little recap for anybody who maybe forgot, but I'm the baby. And when I moved out and moved to Texas, they were like, "All right, maybe it's time for us to sell our house and do something new." So they ended up getting this little ranch. It's over by Lake Erie. It's super cute, but when they got it, they like redid everything. So this is my first time being back, seeing the house actually fully redone. They're still working on some things, but my bedroom is in the basement, and it's so weird to be back in your hometown, like living at your parents' house, because you feel like this is your bedroom, but you look around, there's no pictures of you. And it's like very generic little decorations from HomeGoods with live, laugh, love going on. I have this like Live Simply sign right in front of me. So that's kind of like what I'm referencing right now. But it's so good to be back. It's also really freaking weird to be back because so the last time that I was back in Ohio, it was March, and I was back here for my grandmother's funeral, and I really just spent time with my family. I didn't get to see any of my friends. I was only here for a few days, and at the time I was still working at TikTok, and so it was really hard to actually be able to enjoy the time because, I was working as well. And I was taking time off and just super stressed about everything. And this time I'm back here, and the only obligations that I have are just to spend time with my family. Both of my sisters are here. My grandparents are here. I got to see my aunts and uncles. Went over to my aunt's house for Thanksgiving. And I also got to see a lot of my friends too. I saw my friends from high school. I saw a couple of my girlfriends from college. And before I get into the episode, which by reading the title, it's 21 things that I'm grateful for in 2021. Obviously, we need to recap Thanksgiving. But what we also need to recap is Thanksgiving Eve. Thanksgiving Eve, I need to know who all just collectively decided that it was going to be known as the biggest drinking holiday of the year. Because, like, when I grew up and I was in college and I was actually able to go to the bars, that's when I heard that it was the biggest drinking holiday of the year. I'm like, but why didn't I never hear about this holiday until I was 21? I'm so confused. So it makes me believe, I'm like, is it actually? I don't know. I mean, I feel like New Year's Eve is probably up there too. But, anyways, so the night before Thanksgiving, it is just ironically, infamously, what's the right adjective? Is it an adjective or an adverb? Honestly, I don't know. My mom should probably come down here and help me with grammar. She teaches that in school. So basically, it's the one night that everybody from college or who lives far away, they come into town for Thanksgiving, and everybody's like, "Oh, well, we don't work the next day. It's Thanksgiving. Everybody's gonna go out." And so you go out to your local little bars, your towny bars. And don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with them at all. I literally loved it. I had the best time. But you walk into the bar and you're just like looking around and you're seeing all these familiar faces. And for me, at least, I was very overwhelmed. I don't think that people talk about like the anxiety that comes with going home because you're seeing people that you haven't seen in years and like you're off doing your own things. And sometimes it's like friends that you haven't really kept in touch with. And it's just kind of awkward, right? Like you don't really know what to talk about. You see people, and the first thing that comes to mind is, "Oh, how are you doing?" And naturally, everybody says, "Good." Like, what am I gonna do? Just sit down and just dogpile all of my problems onto somebody? No. So naturally, everybody's just like, "Oh, yeah, I've been well. What about you?" "Oh, I'm good." "That's good. What's your job? What are you up to these days?" And then people talk about what they do for a job, but they never ask, like, "Do you enjoy what you're doing? Like, what are your goals for the next upcoming year?" We always have these such, like, I don't know, these such surface level conversations because it's so awkward, honestly. Like, I don't know. So basically what I'm saying is I walked into this bar and you see all these familiar faces, but you're not really sure because a lot of these people I haven't seen since I graduated college in 2016. Some people I've seen in the past like year or two, but everybody looks old, right? I mean, last time I saw him, I was 18 years old, and now all of a sudden, the guys have beards, and it's like, do I know you or do I not know you? Everybody looks oddly familiar, but you don't want to ask them what their name is because that's awkward. You know, like, what if you're wrong? Or what if they're like, oh, you don't remember me? That's kind of how I felt. And so yeah, it was very nostalgic, but it was really good. Really, really good to be back. I live in Painesville, Ohio. So that's where I am right now. I think I mentioned that at the beginning of this episode. So we went out in downtown Willoughby, and that's only about like 30 minutes from where I live. And then I spent a couple days in Cleveland, and I went out in Lakewood. And yeah, it's really good to see people because I think we're always just all so busy, and you make so many excuses for why you can't get together. But like, what's the excuse for why you haven't picked up the phone to FaceTime them? What's the excuse for what, you know? Like, you don't have to go and visit someone in order to see them and still keep up with their lives. And I think I reminded myself of that. I'm like, wow, I could do a much better job of checking in on my friends and calling them and FaceTiming them so it doesn't feel like it's been 5 years since the last time we met. But yeah, so also you run into people that you just like kind of forget about in a way. And I don't mean that in a bad way, like at all. It's just you haven't seen them in so long. One of those people was I tell this story because I just think it's funny and I think it captures the essence of what happens when you go home. But I ran into my boyfriend from 8th grade. 8th grade, you guys. And then you're just catching up with them, talking about, oh my God, I haven't seen him in so long. Buying each other drinks and just, you know, catching up on good memories. One of those memories being when he broke up with me in 8th grade. I was so heartbroken. And I was in New York City with my aunt Leslie, my cool aunt. Everybody's got a cool aunt, right? If you don't have a cool aunt that you're dressing up to try to impress on the holidays, then like you don't know what I'm talking about. But I feel like everybody has at least one. So anyways, I was in New York City with my aunt Leslie. I was dating this boy at the time, 8th grade. So of course, you know, I thought I was in love. I thought this was the one. And when I was there, he broke up with me. Over Uvu. Let's talk about that quickly. He had the nerve to break up with me over Uvu. Come on, at least be like Skype or something. You know what I'm talking about? It's probably like an unlocked memory that you just had come about. So he broke up with me over Uvu, and I was like, what the heck? I had already bought him this glass souvenir cup that said I Heart New York City on it. I went to the M&M store and I bought like tons of different colored M&Ms, and then I sorted them out on my bed in my hotel room and I layered them in the cup, made it look super cute. And then like the next day he breaks up with me. So I ate the entire cup of M&Ms, which was, I don't even want to know how many calories that was. Who cares about calories anyways? Now I'm thinking back and I'm like, how much dairy was in that? Because you guys know I've been dairy gluten free for a little bit. And I'm thinking about chocolate, milk chocolate. I'm like, wow, there's probably a lot of dairy in there. If I had a stomach ache, it's probably from that. Anyways, I could talk about the dairy gluten free diet thing in another episode, but it was just a good memory. And you forget about those memories like, wow. You know, I've grown so much until you see those people. And so never think that you are too good to go to your neighborhood bars. Because I promise you, some of those nights where you're going to a bar that you're like, I really don't want to go out, are going to be the best ones. So that was my experience with Thanksgiving Eve. I had a great time. I slept over my friend Tessa's house afterwards. Because there's really not a lot of Ubers here. I mean, rightfully so. There's really not a lot of places to Uber like in this town, so it made sense. And I'm sure a lot of the cars were probably in Cleveland. So my friend Tessa's dad was taking her home, and she lives not far from me. So we're like, oh, let's just have a sleepover after. It'll be just like old times. So I slept over her house, and the next day I came back to my parents' house, and my mom's like, I think it's kind of funny. And I'm like, what? She's like, the fact that you girls were just having a slumber party and you're 24 years old, like. You know, you think you get to a certain age and you guys, you know, you stop having sleepovers. And I'm like, absolutely not. Don't ever say those words to me again. Because I think that everybody should have sleepovers for the rest of their lives. When I'm married and I have kids, I fully expect my husband to take care of the kids for a night so I can go have a sleepover with my girlfriends. I'm thinking about it now and I'm like, that honestly might be the key to a happy life, is just endless sleepovers. So this is me telling you to have a sleepover with your girlfriends. Or your guy friends. Doesn't matter. Have a sleepover with somebody, with a friend. So now that I've told that little story, little intro for you, I wanted to get into what I'm grateful for this year. And I thought, oh, it would be kind of cute to do like 21 things for 2021. And I'm not gonna lie, I've tried to record this episode 3 times now. This is now 3rd time's a charm, hopefully. But I tried to record it like 2 days ago, and as I was sitting there and I was talking, and I was like, I don't know. I feel like the things that I came up with aren't like what I'm truly grateful for. And then I just kept nitpicking my list apart. And I'm like, oh, what if people read this the wrong way? Or what if I come across sounding like I'm not grateful for these things? And then I was like, I don't know. I was eating myself alive. Truly, I was. And I was like, this episode is not good enough. I laid in bed and I tried to take a nap. I was just so paranoid thinking about like what I needed to get done while I was home for the holidays. And I'm sure a lot of you guys feel that way too. I mean, you have jobs, you have obligations, and when you're at home and you are trying to spend time with people and trying to be present and engaged, you're in the back of your mind, you're thinking about all the things that you need to get done. And so I finally had a day where it just like kind of all caught up to me. And so if this episode comes out a little bit late, honestly, I truly don't know. I'm very grateful for my team that's behind me, which I'll talk about them in a little bit. But if this episode comes out a little late, it's because of the holidays. The people that I work with, obviously they're spending time with their families, and I don't want them to be worrying about editing this podcast just to get it out on Tuesday. So if it's out a little late, you know why, and hopefully you're understanding. But on that note, I want to get into my list, and I wrote it out on my notes app in my phone. Where did I put my phone? Ugh, one thing that I'm not grateful for is my memory. My memory sucks ass. I forget absolutely everything. Anybody that has ever lived with me, is friends with me, can attest to the fact that I lose everything and I forget everything. My keys, my phone, my purse. Oh my God, my license. I've lost my driver's license like at least 7 times in my lifetime. And I'm not old enough to have lost it that many times. So I've been using my passport for like years, which is one thing that I am grateful for. You know what? Let's just dive right in. I was gonna put traveling later on my list, but all of these things are not in any order because I'm truly equally grateful for every single thing. I think that 2021 year was 2021 year. This year was just such a huge year for me growing like professionally. With quitting my job and then also just like getting acclimated living in a new city, and just growing into a young lady, a young adult on my own, adulting. And I'm so grateful for so much of it. So, what I was saying before is I'm very grateful for my passport. And the backstory behind that is I lost my driver's license when I first moved to Austin. I think I lost it on my birthday, to be honest. It's probably in the bottom of Lake Travis somewhere. So I got a new ID, and then when I got my new Texas driver's license, I lost that like 3 weeks later. So I've been using my passport, but what I mean by the passport is I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be able to travel so much this year. I've been to Chicago, I spent some time with girlfriends in Cabo, I've been to New York a couple times, and especially my time in LA, I truly feel like the times that I've spent traveling are what has really, really tested me. Because when you're in a new environment and there's like a lot of unfamiliarity. Is that a right word? There's a lot of uncomfort and it tests, like, it just tests you. I mean, my time that I spent in New York City for Fashion Week was one of the like hardest weeks of my life, but I feel like after that trip, it made me grow a lot. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity, especially because, you know, the country is starting to open up a little bit more now. You're able to travel more than you were able to at least last year. And I'm grateful that I've been able to do that, to be able to see new friends, spend time with them, new opportunities, you know, career opportunities, stuff like that. So traveling is one of them, leaning back to my passport. That's not the first one that I wanted to start on, though. I wanted to start with my family, which is obviously just, it's kind of a given. You know, I feel like every Thanksgiving, everyone always says, I'm thankful for my friends and my family and my happiness, or I don't know, what are those like top three that people usually say? I feel like it's always friends, family, something else. I would say a dog, but I don't have one. I really want to get one this upcoming year, which is so off topic at all. So off topic. We could talk about dogs in another episode, but all right. So, family. I'm very grateful for my family. Obviously, this year I made a lot of decisions that people had a lot of opinions about, right? Like when I quit my job, it wasn't necessarily accepted by a lot of people online, and I don't share a lot of people that were like negative about it because I try to block that out. But when I told my family about wanting to quit my job, they questioned a lot. Not like in a way that they were questioning me and questioning like my ability to make a decision for myself, but they questioned Like, what is that going to look like for the future? And I honestly just said, I have no idea. I could quit my job. I could start this podcast and it could fucking flop. And I could be back trying to get a job in the next few months. But they fully supported that. And they were fully, just in line with what I wanted to do for myself. At the end of the day, they're like, Jenna, what's best for you. And I am very grateful that I have a very healthy family dynamic. My parents are still together. They show me every day what love is supposed to look like. And I'm just very, very, very grateful for my family. And especially living so far away, it helps give another sense of gratefulness, thankfulness, because you don't see them as often. And when you see somebody so often, it's very easy to like not take advantage of them, but to kind of take them for granted. And especially being so far, I don't see them often. I've also got to see Erin quite a few times this year. Sydney lives in San Antonio. Got to see her for the holidays. Gonna see them all for Christmas. And this year we're actually spending Christmas together in Texas. So I'm really excited for that. And just family overall is like the backbone of everything. And so I wanted to start with them first because I think they would be really upset with me if I didn't start with them. And everybody else that I didn't mention too, my grandparents, I know they listen to my podcast. They talked about it over Thanksgiving. My aunts and uncles, my cousins, and my cousin Shannon, who listens to this. Hey, girl. Hey, queen. Just everybody in my family, very supportive. So, family is number one, and they take number one. But everything else I'm going to say after here has no order. Okay, the next thing that I'm grateful for is my friends in Austin, my friends in Ohio, my friends in LA, New York, across the country, literally every single friend that I have. There's a saying that you are a accumulation of the five closest people to you. Is that the right phrase? Hopefully you know what I'm talking about, but I truly feel like friends, especially living so far away, is what makes, Austin feel like home. They're kind of like my family when my family isn't here. And I'm so grateful for every single friendship, whether it's somebody that I'm absolute best friends with or someone that's just an acquaintance. I've met so many incredible people this year, and especially through what I'm doing now through social media, I have this opportunity to make friends in any part of the country or any part of the world, really. So yeah, I'm very, very grateful for that. A third thing, let me get up my phone because I thought technically this is my fourth thing, right? Because my friend family was first, and then passport and friends, and then let me look, guys. Oh, health. How could I forget that? My health is something that I'm also very, very grateful for. And I'm also grateful for my family's health too. Obviously, coming off a year, 2 years of COVID, it's just, I'm very, very grateful that like I haven't lost anyone close to me from that. I'm very grateful. My sister Sydney works in a hospital. She's an occupational therapist, and I know how hard it is for her. She loses patients every day, people she cares about, people she works with, and I can't imagine like how difficult that would be to see people you love like lose someone. So I'm very, very grateful for my health, as well as, I mentioned earlier in the episode that the last time I was home was March for my grandmother's funeral. And my grandma was truly the first person that I've lost in my family that's like very close to me. And feeling that loss was really, really hard on myself and my family. And so my heart goes out to anybody who is having their first holiday without someone. It's definitely very sad. And it also makes you appreciate those moments with your other grandparents or people in your family that much more, because you never really truly know. And so, health. I'll leave it at that. I know this conversation can be like kind of triggering, so I want to apologize for that in advance. And next one is my phone. Okay, this may sound really superficial, materialistic, like I'm grateful for my phone, whatever. That's not what I mean. I'm not grateful for like this actual thing, but what I'm grateful for is the opportunities that my phone has given me. It's absolutely fucking insane to think that I pick up this phone, I record myself doing random things, and this phone allows millions of people to see it, millions of people to interact with me, millions of people to relate to me, and then has given me the opportunity to be able to do it full time. Like, it's wild. My phone is truly the thing that connects me to all of you, connects me to my family, connects me to who's it connect me to? And I'm like trying to be like, trying to be like, I'm trying to be really intimate and deep about the phone like analogy. I'm trying to make it into like this huge metaphor. But really, like, you can pick up your phone, you can FaceTime your friends, you can send pictures, you can capture memories, you can create moments with your phone. And it's wild. It's just like this one thing. But so much of my life now revolves around it. And for that reason, I'm very grateful. But I'm also very grateful for my time to unplug. And this is another thing on my list, was being unplugged completely from social media, from my phone. A few weeks ago, I went to like a workout class, and then on the way home, I don't have a car in LA, so I didn't ride my bike either. And I was like, all right, well, I could either Uber home or I could just walk home. It was about 2 miles. I was like, I'm feeling good. My legs are on fire. Why not just walk home? So I did. My phone was on 1%, and I was not on my phone the entire time. So I walked home, I went and I got coffee, I got an acai bowl, and I just sat on Abbot Kinney and I just watched people, and I sat alone with my internal thoughts. And I was like, it has been so freaking long that I have just put my phone down, like, and just not even thought about being on my phone. It's so easy to be paranoid about, like, what emails am I missing right now? Who am I not responding to? What do I need to be getting done? That you'd never give yourself time to just completely unplug and be alone with your thoughts. And I feel like when you're alone with your thoughts is when you're actually the most alive. Oh my God. I was just trying to be like so, I was trying to give like a little TED talk right there. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but basically, I don't know where I was going with that. To be honest, I don't know where I was going with it. I know what I'm trying to say, but I can't form the words to express what I meant. But basically, being unplugged is so important. And I mean, obviously, my life revolves around it, my career revolves around it, and it's a good reminder. So I'm very grateful for those times that I do have, whether they are planned or not. I mean, the time that I wasn't on my phone a few weeks ago wasn't planned. I never charge my phone. I'm not grateful for that. Like I said, going back to the forgetfulness, I always forget to charge my phone. So I'm always losing my battery at like important times. But I'm grateful for those times now, because when I am alone, unplugged is when I think the most. Okay. All right, I'm gonna leave it at that. I don't know where I was going. Okay, another one, brands. Obviously, okay, a lot of people are really confused. Being home for the holidays and talking to my family, they're like, Jenna, how do you even like, I know you have a podcast, but how do you like make money? And I'm gonna be completely straight up with you guys right now. The only way that I make money is from like brand deals. And the only way I get brand deals is because brands believe in me as a person and respect my values and want to align their brand and their values with me as a person. And that is something I'm so incredibly grateful for. And now I have this opportunity, and I mean, I had it before, but like, I truly never went into my job at TikTok ever thinking, I'm going to eventually quit TikTok because I want to be a TikToker. You know, like that was never a thought. So every time I'd ever work with a brand, it was truly just because I wanted to work with them, not because I was trying to make money. And I think that is like the key to success, is the more you try to be an influencer, like the less authentic it is. And it was really, really never my plan, never my intention. It just happened to come about. And these brands that they pay me to endorse their products or show their clothes or talk about them, that's really how I sustain this. And I want to be very, very clear that I only work with brands that I fully 100% support. So, you know, I've had like sponsors on the podcast, or I make TikTok videos. And I think oftentimes people see like the sponsored check and they just assume, oh, they were paid to post this. They don't believe in it. That's not true. I think that there are definitely a lot of people out there, but more so now, I mean, especially a lot of my friends in the social media space, we've all talked about it. There are so many brands that you turn down because you're like, I wouldn't buy this with my own money. So for me to like endorse it organically as if I would, it doesn't feel true. And I feel like that's when people start to lose value in you, and that's when you're just become like an influencer. And rather somebody that you can actually truly feel confident in and trust. So I'm very grateful for brands. I mean, some brands that I've grown up admiring, like Lululemon. I never thought in my lifetime that I would ever be working with Lululemon. Like that's insane. There's so many brands, Visible especially. They have believed in me so much this year. They made my Fun Out Weekdays event possible. It's so wild, and I'm unbelievably grateful for it. So for anybody who works for one of the brands that I work with, it's so cool because behind the brand, there's people, just normal people. For example, I went to Rare Beauty's Thanksgiving. Oh my gosh, you guys, that's a whole nother freaking story. And if you watch Alicia Marie's vlogs or Remy's YouTube videos, I'm in the back of one of them, and it's crazy because I was sitting at the Thanksgiving table. And if you don't know them, they're like really, really famous YouTubers. And I was sitting at this table across from them. I was just thinking, I'm like, wow, these girls look so familiar. I don't know why. And then I did a little quick Google search because everybody was DMing me. They're like, Jenna, you're sitting across from Manny MUA, but you're also sitting across from Alicia and Remy. Like, what? So I Googled them. I'm like, holy shit. It's just absolutely wild. And when I was going to the event, I was thinking, oh my God, Rare Beauty. Like, that's so cool. And then you get to meet the people that work for Rare Beauty, and you're like, wow, you're just like me, you know? So it's just like friends that I've also made through the brands too. It's really, really cool. And the opportunity to be able to meet some of the people that truly support me. So brands is one thing. And then, you guys. Okay, the next one is love. Oh, okay, I'm admitting it. This is the first time I'm admitting it. I'm in love. And why do I have goosebumps? Why do I have butterflies? I'm grateful for the fact that I feel butterflies again. I feel like I thought that I was in love in my relationship for 6 years. And then that ended, and then for 3 years I was single, and I thought that I like had found myself amongst that time, and I really like worked on myself, whatever. I don't know where I'm going with this, but basically, this year came across an incident where I found myself getting butterflies and being giddy and just like feeling so good about myself and just so inspired and so motivated. And why am I about to start crying? Like, what? What is wrong with me? And there came a point where I was like, oh my God, like I'm in love. And then you compare a feeling to a previous feeling, and I'm like, I've truly never felt this way. And I love it. Like, I literally love it. I love the idea of love, but I love being in love more than I love the idea. That makes sense. And I haven't felt it in so long. For the past 3 years, I've loved the idea of it, but now I actually love the reality of it. And so I'm really grateful. Oh, that's so cheesy. Another thing too is like I found myself being way more sentimental and way more empathetic and just a lot more like caring and nurturing, because before I just was like kind of hard. Like I really didn't show my emotions ever, and now I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I just want to like love everybody." And I really think that's 'cause I'm God, I hope this doesn't end up somewhere. Someone's gonna post this probably. All right, I am grateful for my insecurities. And that might sound really weird, but like struggling with acne, struggling with my body image, struggling to feel like I am not enough or imposter syndrome, all of these things, like all of my insecurities, my doubt, all of those things, that's what makes me human. That's what keeps me relatable. That is what makes me Jenna. That is why you guys listen to me, is because I still have every single struggle, no matter anybody's success, being mindful of those insecurities and being able to share them with humility and honesty. That is what makes somebody a real, genuine, authentic, trustful person. And I'm really grateful for those things, because I feel like when you are struggling with it and you're able to share it, you're able to find a community that also relates to you, and you can build off of each other and use those insecurities kind of almost as like a power. I've talked about my struggle with acne for so long. I actually just made a video about it yesterday or today. But yeah, insecurities, I mean, everybody has them, and to not talk about them or to ignore them is just acting like you're above that. And I don't think anybody's ever above it, because everybody has some type of insecurity. And if you say you don't have an insecurity, that is, I think, your insecurity projecting that you don't have insecurity. I don't know. So I'm also, on that note, I said humility. I'm also grateful for the fact that I can make fun of myself and I can take things lighthearted, and I can also admit when I'm wrong. Like, that is so important, to be self-aware and to be open about the mistakes that you've made and humility. I don't know if that's necessarily the right word, but I'm grateful for that. And I think that that also has just come with maturity and just aligning myself with the right people. So that's another thing I'm grateful for too. I'm also grateful for the fact that I'm very grounded in my beliefs. And this definitely kind of goes back to my family. Like they raised me to believe in myself. And so throughout this entire year, when I've been meeting so many people and I've been faced with so many different opinions, I've stood so grounded in my beliefs and been very consistent with what I've posted online. Like the people that I work with, the people that I associate with, I think I've been very grounded. And I know it's really, really easy to like lose sight of yourself, especially when you're moving to a new place, meeting new people. And it's easy to kind of like be influenced by people and lose sight of what you truly believe in. But I'm grateful for the fact that I don't think I've done that. I may have evolved a little bit, but at the end of the day, I still stand true in my values. Another thing that I'm really grateful for, and these kind of go hand in hand, is taking risks and being impulsive. Being impulsive in the fact that, like, I post a video, I don't think a single thing about it, and then the next day it blows up, and here I am starting a podcast. Like, the podcast was completely based off of an impulsive risk. And I feel like risks are the only way that you get out of your comfort zone, truly. And without getting out of your comfort zone, you literally never know what you can make of yourself. And just like, I mean, it's so important to take risks, I think. I mean, I think. I don't know. Who am I to tell you that? You can listen to me or you cannot listen to me. But I think that my impulsiveness has given me opportunities to take risks. Do you see how that kind of goes hand in hand, I guess? Like the risk to quit my job was based off of the impulsiveness to share my entire life online. So I'm grateful for that. It's led me to so many opportunities and also just being able to talk to all of you who are listening to me in your car, your headphones, or on your TV, wherever you're listening to me. Another one is this book. Let me show you. My coffee is sitting on it. This book, it is called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck. No, it's not. It's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I am going to be completely honest with you. If you look into the camera, you can see that I have not finished this book. I read it on the way here, on my way to Ohio. I'm on page 130 of, oh, wait, no, I'm not. I'm on page 149 of 204. So I'm not done with it yet, but this book, I started reading it like 5 days ago and I have not stopped thinking about it at all. It teaches you so much about, oh my gosh, you know what? I started marking pages that they had like really, really good, insightful quotes from. And I wanted to make a compilation, kind of like an overview of this book for anybody who really doesn't love to read. I hate reading. It's not that I hate it, I've just never really been into it. And then I was really kind of starting to struggle. I mean, lately, I feel like I've been caring so much about what people say to me. And I hate that. I hate that I let it get to me, and I hate that it lets me fester and be upset about random strangers' opinions about me that I'm never gonna meet, that I shouldn't care about because their opinions is truly just, a projection of their own insecurities. So reading this book, so freaking good. So freaking good. It teaches you not to care about anything. It teaches you if you are making something a problem over the small things, like, oh, you didn't get the right change back, or you, I don't know, somebody's late to hang out. If you get mad about those little things, it's because you don't have enough bigger problems to care about. And so it just makes you really put life into perspective. Like, why do I actually care about this? Why am I actually getting upset and letting it ruin my mood? This book, I am endorsing it. Mark Manson, if my words ever get to you, I would love to have you on my podcast. Absolutely love it. I think everybody should read it. That's it. I think this is a life-changing book. It's changed my life in the past 5 days that I've read it. So I only imagine when I finish it, I will probably reference this for a long time. So this book, I'm very grateful for. Another thing, and I talked about this with my dad on my episode with him, was sunsets and sunrises. There is something so like serene and relaxing about sitting and watching the sunset alone and like also unplugging at the moment if you can. I mean, take your photo of the sunset and then put your phone away. And just be like present in the sunset. I think sunsets are a reminder that every single day you can like unwind and let go of the bad things that happened on that day. And it's sunset or sunrise is your new opportunity for a new day to let go of what happened and to start completely fresh. And I don't know, I just love sunsets and sunrises. And this year I've gotten to experience so many in so many different places. And my favorite place to watch the sunset in Austin, if any of you are listening, is Mount Bunnell. Love it there. It's so beautiful. It's over by the 360 Bridge. I'm not entirely sure if Mount Bunnell and 360 Bridge are the same place. I don't think it is. But both places are so beautiful to watch the sunset. There's also a few parks over by Lake Travis. Watching the sunset over a body of water, there's something different about that. So, whenever I'm feeling like really stressed out, going and watching the sunset was something that I did to just completely unwind. Another thing is my park. Oh, another place that I love and cherish in Austin is this little park. It's off of Cesar Chavez. To be honest with you, I still don't even know if I'm saying that word, that road correctly. It might be Cesar. No, it's got to be Cesar. Cesar Chavez. Anyways, it's this little park. It has a picnic table. It's lined with trees and it has these like giant light posts in there. And I started going there. Every time I would drive by at night, it would be lit up, and I would see families having picnics there in the summer, like kids dancing around in the park. And I don't know, it was just always such like a happy thought, and I always drove by thinking, "Oh, I should go sit over there one time." And then eventually I did go sit over there one time. And then I would bring food and I would sit and eat food alone there, just sitting on the picnic table. And then eventually it also became a place for me to go when I just like was so sad. And to think about the times that I've spent sitting in my car, because when you go super late at night, do not go sit out there alone. I know that Austin's a safe city, but for whatever reason, something doesn't sit right with me. I've gone there at like 2 a.m. sometimes, and I'm not about to go sit on a picnic table alone in the dark. The lights start flickering after a certain point too. So that park honestly just became like a safe space for me. I would have like a really rough day. I would be going through something. I'd be thinking, to be honest with you, I realized that I was in love when I was sitting at that park. I'll like sit in the car, I'll listen to music. I won't be on my phone. I'll get out like a journal and I'll start writing. That park, I just feel like I have so many memories there, and it's just become such a place that I love and adore about Austin that I feel like I can truly be alone. So I love that park. Okay, another one is fitness. This kind of goes hand in hand with Lady Bird Lake. So at the beginning of this past year, I've talked about this before, but I was very insecure. I hated what I looked like. I looked in the mirror and I literally did not want to look in the mirror. I hated myself. And I could see that I was gaining weight, and like that fact that I could see I was gaining weight would make me so upset and unmotivated that I wouldn't then want to go work out. And eventually I just started going on walks around Lady Bird Lake, which is another thing that I'm really grateful for. I have so many memories on Lady Bird Lake, whether it's walking, going for a run. I don't know if I should share this. Whatever, fuck it, I'm gonna share it. The first time that I met Connor was actually walking around Lady Bird Lake for like 5 miles. So it's this like 12 or might even be more than that. It's this huge loop around the lake and there's running trails. First time I ever met him was there. And I mean, now that's like a sentimental thing, but that's not why it's on my list. It's on my list because in the beginning of the year, I would go for runs out there all the time. And when I was struggling with work, I would take my lunch breaks to go for a walk or to go for a run. And then I eventually started to make it part of my routine. Then I loved it. I would look forward to it. And then eventually it kind of led into me wanting to work out a lot more. I started getting my motivation back because the more I was walking, the better I felt about myself. And I was like, oh, I want to try something new. Like I've been walking around the lake for so long. Let's go to a workout class. So then I started going to True Fusion, which has cycling, barre, Pilates, dance classes, got everything there. I talk about what's it called? True Fusion, literally all the time. But that's when I started taking account for my fitness and I started working out a lot more. Once I started working out a lot more, I just started feeling so much better. I wasn't feeling constantly bloated. I was letting go of like my stress, lifting weights, and just feeling better. When you feel better, you look better, you project yourself better. You're a happier, better person. So I'm grateful for my fitness, which goes along with health and also goes aligned with Lady Bird Lake. Another thing is my team at J1S. I would not be sitting here without my team at J1S. So, a lot of times people don't really understand what I do. People are like, "Oh, you need an assistant, you need help." And I'm like, "I do eventually someday probably need an assistant, but my team at J1S, they're the agency that I work with. So I signed to them in February and they actually reached out to me last July. A lot of people have questions like, how do you find an agency? How do you get signed? They came to me. They had just started their talent division because they do a lot of creative work, but they were just starting to sign talent. So, like social media people. And at the time, I got on a FaceTime with them and I just wasn't interested because just started my job, just moved to Austin, and I was like, I don't want to do social media. I like social media because it's not a job. It's just something fun. And I feel like the second that you make it into a job, it takes the enjoyment out of it. I can say to this day, now that it is my job, I still do like social media, but I do still stand behind that. When it's a job, it's a lot more stressful. You know, you have so many like doubts. You're like, oh, what if this video doesn't do well? When it's not your job, who gives a shit if it has 100 likes? You know, who cares? Anyways, I eventually signed to them in February because I'd started doing a couple like brand partnerships on my own. And it got to a point where I was like, I can't read all of my emails and work and have like my personal and social life all at the same time. So I signed to them and they were always just supportive of, okay, yeah, you can make money from social media, but truly, what are your goals in life? What do you actually want to do? What do you want to do with this platform to make it into something bigger? And when I came to them in like July, right? Was it July? Maybe June. When I came to them in June, I was like, I think I want to start like a YouTube or maybe start a podcast. And we threw around the idea of it, but it wasn't until one day that I impulsively made that TikTok about starting a podcast. To be honest with you, I didn't even tell them that I was making that TikTok. And then a couple of days passed. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to start it. And they're like, okay, what can we do to help you? So they got me my microphone, this one right here. This trusty old Blue Yeti that I'm talking into. They got me my microphone. Their team helps me edit and produce the episodes. So I'll send her all the files. They do all of that for me. They'll make cutdowns for me so that I can post them. And they basically take care of every single job so that I can do what I'm the best at, which is just being myself. And when I have so many things that you have to do, kind of takes away from that. So they also helped me plan my entire Fun on Halloween event. They did all of the ticketing. They took care of that. I basically gave them like a mood board of what I wanted it to look like and what I saw the vision being, and they brought it to life. And they just, truthfully, I cannot say enough about them. If you're in social media and you're looking for management and you're getting to like that point in your career where you want to take a next step, where you're like, I want this to be full time, I would definitely consider reaching out to them. I mean, worst case scenario is it's not a good fit for you. But best case scenario is you end up like me and you get to work with them side by side and they help foster your entire like career development. So I'm very grateful for them. I know they're listening and I don't think that I express it enough because we text all day, every day about like things that I need to be doing. And just like any relationship, if you talk to somebody so often, like I said before, it's really easy to kind of take them for granted. And it's good to remind myself I would not be one of like doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for them. So J1S, I love you guys forever. And I should say it more. I know I don't, but this is my verbal acknowledgement that I am so thankful and grateful for all of you. Okay, next one. This is a person. So Lily came into my life this year. I mean, obviously Lily and I have been really good friends since our time at Cherry Hill. And then this year, she was living in Iowa. I was living alone. My first roommate moved out. And I was like, okay, well, I have my apartment for the next 6 months. So I could either live in it alone, pay double rent, or I could find a random person to move in. Or, like, what is the odd off chance that Lily would want to move to Austin basically for the summer? At the time, she like didn't have a full-time job set in stone yet. She's still kind of like figuring out what she wanted to do. And so Lily moved to Austin, and I truly feel like my world kind of like flipped upside down. Like, Lily is just genuinely the most empathetic, sweetest, nicest, genuine person, and I feel like I really needed that in my life. And I think that we just balance each other out. So to be able to live with her and grow together during like such an integral year, I'm beyond grateful for her. I'm starting to tear up. What is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I'm starting to cry. I think about Lily and I think about how much we've grown from our time at Sherry Hill to our time as 24-year-olds. And she's helped me go through so much this year, especially with quitting my job. Like, she was truly the one person that saw everything. And I'm so grateful for her. And now, thinking about her being in New York City, she's friends with my friend Emily Duggar from high school now. They're both working at Ralph Lauren. So incredible. So, 2021, Lily is definitely up there with things that I'm grateful for. Oh my God, if she's listening, she's probably gonna cry. Okay. And we're nearing the very end, the 21st thing, which arguably should be the first or second, at least after my family, is all of you guys. And I'm already crying. So, like, at this point, I might as well just bring out the waterworks. But truly, I would not be able to do what I'm doing without you guys listening and giving my words value. Like, if you didn't give a shit what I talked about, you didn't care about me as a person, I would have no platform. I would not have a podcast. I would not be on social media. Like, it's really, truly incredible that you guys care about me. So, whether you're listening to this podcast for the first time, you've listened to every single episode, maybe you listen to a handful, maybe you don't even listen to the podcast, and this somehow ends up on TikTok or Instagram, literally anybody that supports me in any way, I'm so unbelievably grateful for you. I do not. Like, DMs, comments, messages, they don't go unnoticed. There are times that, like, I cannot reply to everything, but I promise you, nothing goes unnoticed. There are some people that have been following me and supporting me from the very beginning, from when I was in college to my first job at TikTok. And those people who have truly seen me develop and, like, grow over the past year and a half, it's really incredible just the fact that you guys value what I say. And without your support, what I say wouldn't have as much meaning. So, oh my God. I just swallowed and I like heard it in my throat. I don't know if you could hear it, but I feel like I'm swallowing tears almost because I don't want to talk about it too much because I just know that I'll be an emotional train wreck. But especially around the holidays, like for Thanksgiving, especially when I share things online that I'm struggling with. People's reactions, your guys' support, it really makes me like overwhelmed with emotions. Like the event, getting to meet people in person, seeing random strangers in my hometown in Cleveland, Ohio, that come up to me and they're like, oh my God, I love your podcast. Like that is still so wild to me. And I never, ever, ever want to lose that feeling because it's truly like a high. Like you meet somebody and they tell you that they love you and they support you. They love your podcast. And oh, they quit their job. Or oh my gosh, I want to move to a new city. Or I want to pursue this thing that I've been so scared to take the risk to do because I listen to you. Like that, I never ever want to get sick of that feeling. And I don't think I ever will. So that is the last thing that I'm grateful for. And there's probably so many other things that by the end of this episode, when it comes out and I listen to it back, I'm gonna be like, oh, I feel like such an ass for not saying that I'm grateful for this. But truly, there's too many things. There's more than 21 things to be grateful for. And I hope that you all had a fantastic time for Thanksgiving, able to spend it with your family or maybe friends, or maybe you spent it alone. Just know that I am with you this Thanksgiving. And yeah, I don't have anything fun for you guys to do this week because I think that you should be alone in your thoughts and maybe reflect on this past year. And then reflect on what you want to do for next year. It's such a sentimental time right now. I freaking love the holidays. I love it. So yeah, that's the very end of the episode, you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. And the rest of the day, I'm pretty busy. I'm gonna go back to Austin in the next couple of days, and then lots of traveling for the holidays. So anybody else who's traveling out there, be safe and. Yeah. Oh, I love you guys so much. I never know how to close out these episodes. Usually when I have like the fun thing to do, that's how I close it out. But basically, all right, whatever. I'm gonna stop. jabbering. Okay, bye guys. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. I love you all so, so much. I'm so thankful for all of you. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy early Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, whatever you don't celebrate. I love you.